In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A while back, I got a message on my computer that said, "What does it mean when holy water touches you and it burns?" asking for a friend. It was a joke, of course, referencing a scene from the movie The Exorcist. But it does raise some interesting questions for us on this day that we recall Jesus' baptism, such as, is there really such a thing as holy water? When I was growing up, a church near my home sold water from the grotto in Lourdes, France, where a young girl was said to have a religious vision back in the 1850s. Many people thought that water had miraculous powers. When I was a child, whenever I got a cold or another sickness, my great aunt, who was sort of the family folk healer, would bless me with what she called Lourdes water. Such rituals straddled the fine line between faith and magic, which we talked about last week. In the Lutheran Church, we rarely talk about holy water per se, although we do place much emphasis on the water of holy baptism. Today, we heard how Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Although full of symbolism, that act was an actual historical public event using real water. Jesus' baptism was not secret, imaginary, or anything less than genuine in every way. That's important because we need to be certain that the physical can be a vehicle for the spiritual. That is to say that Jesus Christ can be God in a human body, that God can join his powers to the water of holy baptism, that the finite can bear the infinite. You can know God, you can be touched by him, and you can have life in his name. Let's unpack that a bit by saying three things about baptism and the water associated with it that baptism and the water are not. Number one, baptism is not a meaningless ritual. Jesus didn't and doesn't have time for useless formalities. He only had 3 years to get his message out, and he wasted no time doing it. Everything Jesus did and said was important. He would not have modeled baptism for us unless it was important that we do it too. Jesus would not have told the disciples to baptize the nations in God's triune name if it wasn't necessary. The time between his ascension and his second coming is too short for us to be wasting it on empty ceremonies. In the book of Acts, so many times we hear people ask the apostles, "What must we do to be saved?" And their answer is always, "Believe in the gospel and be baptized." The two go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. A frequent objection to the necessity of baptism is the case of the good thief. The man crucified on Jesus' right confessed and repented, and Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Apparently, there can be salvation without baptism, but that is the exception that proves the rule. Jesus commands us to baptize and be baptized, but he is not bound by his own pronouncements. Jesus can make exceptions. We are not Jesus. Baptism is the usual necessary means of God's grace, a grace that makes us part of the body of Christ, which is the church, and promises us eternal life. Baptism is indispensable in the life of a Christian. Secondly, baptism is not something we do. It is something God does for us. In the Lutheran and other historic churches, too often baptism just becomes a quaint naming ritual and an excuse for a party. In many newer churches, baptism is dispensed with altogether or seen as something that an individual decides to do to express his or her faith. There is no basis or warrant for such an understanding as those in Holy Scripture. God created baptism. God calls us to be baptized. In baptism, God acts and our faith receives his grace. That is why we baptize infants. The common objection to infant baptism is, how can an infant have faith? Think back to Mary, the mother of our Lord, pregnant with Jesus, visiting her kinswoman Elizabeth, carrying John the Baptist in utero. When Mary and Elizabeth met, John leapt in Elizabeth's womb. He recognized his Savior. That's faith. Would that we all had the faith that the unborn John had. Another objection to baptism in general, one that Martin Luther acknowledged in his small catechism, is how can water do such great things? The answer is that it is water joined to the Word of God. It is the force of God's Word taken into the water that gives baptism its power. When the Word is no longer proclaimed, the baptismal water is just once again water. We treat and dispose of that water respectfully and reverently because it once contained the presence of God, but we don't bottle it or sell it for rituals. We don't do magic. We preach, teach, and serve in an imperfect world. Which brings us to the third thing that I want to say baptism is not. It is not something that makes us perfect. Baptism doesn't make us nice, doesn't even make us good people. Just about every major Christian denomination preaches some variation of justification by faith, but yet survey after survey finds that most people will tell you that they think we get into heaven by being good. Jesus didn't die because we're not simply nice enough. Christ didn't go to the cross because we're good, but not quite as good as we could be. Jesus suffered and crucified because we, each and every one of us, are sinners, rotten to the core, who deserve to drink out of God's cup of wrath and drain it to the very dregs and receive eternal punishment. But few people believe that, even though that is what we say in our confession week after week. We think we're nice, or at least nicer than other people we could name. We love our family and friends and hate our enemies and just ignore that Jesus told us that we have to love everyone. We believe that baptism was the little nudge that God gave us in the right direction so that we could go on and earn salvation all by ourselves the rest of the way. It's just not so. So often, our niceness is only a facade covering self-righteousness, judgmentalism, and passive-aggressiveness. God is not fooled. He sees us as we really are, evil. The ancient baptismal rites included an exorcism, a casting out of the devil in the child or adult to be baptized. We have transformed that in modern times to a renunciation of evil. But I know some pastors who, still while baptizing, say softly in Greek, ekbalo, meaning be cast out. Holy water may not burn us physically, but the very thought of it should sear us spiritually when we think of the people that we have murdered with our tongues and all of the ways that we've let Christ down. So what does baptism do? It washes away our original sin. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of holy baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. True, we do sin after baptism, but in Christ we have an advocate with God the Father who has earned our forgiveness, not with niceness or magic or gold or silver, but with his own precious blood. Every day we must go back to God for the forgiveness that was first given us when we were baptized. This is our only hope for salvation. On judgment, the defense, "I was a nice person, I did good things," will not carry the day. We must plead the blood of Jesus. Being washed in the blood of the Lamb is our get out of jail free card. True story. A family went to the Holy Land and filled a small vial with water from the River Jordan. When their grandchild was baptized, they gave the vial to the pastor, it wasn't me, and asked him to mix it with the water in the baptismal font. They hadn't noticed that the bottle was empty. The water had either spilled out or evaporated. What was the pastor to do? He held the bottle in such a way that they couldn't see the contents or the lack thereof, and he made it look like he poured the Jordan River water into the font. Family was none the wiser. Now, we could debate whether that was entirely honest on his part or not, but the bigger question is, did it make a difference? Know that your baptism is valid and effective whether the water came from the River Jordan or from Lourdes or from a spigot in Wellsville. It is God's power, his grace, his love that was given to you in the water of holy baptism. And that is all that matters. Repent, believe, and rejoice. Amen.